now a chance to talk some college football, SEC, and more. Alyssa Lang, studio host, reporter with the SEC Network, ESPN, and ESPN Radio joins us now. Alyssa, hope you're having a good week, and as always, welcome back.
I'm so glad to be here. It's always nice to talk to you, especially at the halfway point of the SEC season. So it's always nice to hop on and talk college football. Thanks for having me.
So here we are, you know, week two for the Big Ten, and we already get a cancellation with Wisconsin, a team that certainly has playoff aspirations, but their game, because of COVID-19 issues, their game gets canceled with Nebraska. There's no room for and wiggle room as far as the way the Big Ten has got their schedule. We're still waiting for next week when the Pac-12 gets involved and then starts playing football. So at that point, we'll see whether or not an Oregon or a USC team can be good enough to make a run for the playoff. What's your overall assessment so far from what you've been able to witness inside the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, everything I think has gone as smoothly as possible. Certainly within the SEC, that's sort of the conference that I'm obviously embedded in. There's certainly been some hiccups, but I think that was anticipated. And when I say hiccups, obviously, I mean positive tests with a couple of programs, Florida, Vanderbilt having to pause team activities for a couple of weeks. But again, I think we all kind of went into this knowing that that was a possibility. Everything, though, that was set in place as far as protocols and trying to prevent this as much as possible, I always felt like it was a really solid plan as far as what the SEC planned to do. And I'm hoping, and I know everyone's hoping, that the last couple of weeks as far as those positive tests is a one-time thing. But I know each school and the conference is definitely prepared no matter what happens.
We will never know for sure who was not taking this as seriously as they should. But certainly when you think about the SEC office, you know, not playing any games when they were threatening the fines up to $1 million per institution for, you know, repeated violations as far as protocols and things like that were in place. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, as far as before we even had the first week of college football inside the SEC, you know, programs getting hit hard at times as far as, you know, having to shut down in preparation for this season. But then, you know, we look at a Florida team that'll be playing their first football game in 3 weeks. Same thing applies to Vanderbilt. And you would hope by now that everybody has got the message.
Yeah, certainly. And, I mean, when it comes to, you know, wearing masks and proper masks, I guess, if you will, I know Greg Sankey was very vocal about, hey, if you're not meeting protocol, there will be fines. And we've read all about that. It seems like now that we've sort of hit our stride a couple weeks into the season, it's, I don't want to say commonplace, because I don't think this virus and what we've dealt with in 2020 will ever be commonplace, but it's sort of just second nature now to do the social distancing, whether you're talking about the game crews, and make sure everybody's wearing a mask, where at the beginning of the season, it was sort of like, okay, go through your checklist. You have your mask, are you 6 feet apart, don't touch anybody, wash your hands. But, you know, as we sort of anticipated, once you get into the groove of this thing, it becomes a little more habitual, certainly for a large group of people and a large group of kids and coaches and student athletes who want to see football played for the rest of the season.
You know, a couple of things that really stood out for me. I love the storylines. That's what's happening in Columbia, Missouri with Coach Rinkwith. I love what he is, you know, as, you know, changing that culture there with that Missouri football team. I mean, it was just yesterday, it seemed like, where we're talking about Missouri representing the SEC East back in 14-15 as far as the SEC championship game was concerned. But I like the direction Missouri is heading, and that's one of the better stories as far as just being a football fan, watching what's happening there. What about from your standpoint, you know, a couple of storylines that have stuck out for you?
Yeah, I loved Missouri, to your point, and I will say Missouri was not anybody that I had my eye on from a perspective of somebody who might surprise us this season. And what Eli has been able to do out there already, certainly last weekend against Kentucky, I mean, the numbers that they put up certainly defensively, or at least held Kentucky to, were just outstanding. So they've been incredible to watch. And then, of course, anybody who's an SEC fan knows what Arkansas has been able to do this season. Right now, sitting at 2-2, but if you paid attention, you probably, most of us would say they should be sitting at 3-1 because of that missed call or no call at the end of the Auburn-Arkansas game. So that's been another incredible storyline as well. That was one that I was a little more excited to see sort of develop because of just the number of Arkansas games that I got the privilege to work last year. I think I was on the call for 4 or so Arkansas games last year, and it was tough going out to Fayetteville. They were not playing good football. They were certainly not energized in any way, shape, or form. But we knew there was talent on both sides of the ball. We knew they had young guys who were hungry that wanted to come in and compete and perform. And we've really seen that this year. Now, I'm not saying that Arkansas is going to win the SEC West or anything this year, but I think with the way they've been playing and what we've seen the first couple weeks of the season, it wouldn't be crazy to think that they're not in the conversation for second best team in the SEC West, which is so crazy given that they went however many seasons it felt like without an SEC win, period. So I'm really looking forward to the Arkansas-Texas A&M game this coming weekend. A&M obviously got a huge win a couple weeks ago over the Florida Gators, who really make me a little nervous this year, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. But, man, up and down the conference, it feels like there's multiple storylines as far as improvement, as far as teams that are exciting to watch. And we knew that was going to happen when it comes to a 10-game SEC schedule. So I'm almost of the thought that, like, can we just keep this forever? Can we keep this conference schedule forever because of all the stuff we get to talk about? It's been great.
Well, people, you say that, but then again, though, you look at the SEC, and like this week, only 4 teams from the SEC ranked in the top 25. Now, they all happen to be ranked in the top 10, but that's it. And only 2 more getting votes, so only 6 of the 14 teams actually getting votes in this week's AP Top 25 poll. One of the teams that, you can't help but pull for them if you're, you know, you don't have to be a fan of the Kentucky Wildcats, but, you know, they were trying to do something. They had not had they're trying for their 5th straight winning season. Right now they're at 2-3. It's something that they haven't done as a program since they won 11 straight or had 11 straight winning seasons from 46 to 1956. But they've dug themselves a hole to the point now where they're going to have to upset somebody because in their last 5 games, their schedule, including starting Saturday as they host Georgia, they still have Georgia. They're at Alabama. They're at Florida. It's going to be tough to get to that magic number of 1 game above 500 with that schedule remaining. And when I see a stat like that where they haven't accomplished something in so many years, I was really pulling for a Kentucky program to be able to notch that one.
Yeah, I was as well. And going into the season, Kentucky was my sleeper pick to win the SEC East. I mean, obviously there was a ton of confidence and a ton of hype for Florida and Georgia, but Kentucky to me was that team that when you look at both sides of that program, there's just so much talent and there was so much returning talent that I thought, man, we'd be crazy to think Kentucky wouldn't make some noise. And I've been disappointed from what I've seen from Kentucky so far. Again, just knowing what we saw last year and how talented that group was. The thing that scares me about Kentucky, and I think we saw it in this Missouri game this past weekend, is if Kentucky's defense isn't scoring, it feels like they're not scoring much at all. And we saw that over the last couple of weeks, certainly with that Tennessee game and how much help the defense gave the offense as far as the scoreboard when they broke that streak. So I'm hoping they can sort of right the ship and get that back together. I was honestly surprised to see Joey Gatewood come in for Terry Wilson partway through the game against Missouri. While Terry, I don't think, has probably played up to his own standard, I was surprised to see that, even though they were struggling. So it kind of indicates to me that there might not be a clear leader on that side of the ball, that maybe, you know, Terry's still struggling to lead that offense, and that somebody has to step up and really be that signal caller in the way that everybody kind of rallied around Lynn Bowden last year because that was all they had left. And look what ended up happening. They played with a chip on their shoulder the rest of the season and they had great success. So there's obviously still time. And like you said, the schedule doesn't get any easier, but if there's anybody who I would probably put some money on to upset somebody the rest of the season, it would be Coach Stoops and his Kentucky Wildcats, because I know those guys are a blue-collar, gritty football team, and I love to watch them play.
You know, the strange part about that, Alyssa, is the fact that you look at Alabama and their offensive line, the three best offensive lines in the SEC, and amongst the three best as far as in the country, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky. We look at Kentucky's offense, you know, three outstanding running backs there, but as you pointed out, struggles as far as, you know, having consistent offense. Tennessee with their struggles with and bringing that type of offensive line to the table. But even Alabama early on, remember, having difficulties there, established their running game until late in ball games when they were wearing teams down. Now it looks like Alabama's corrected their issues, but that's the part that kind of stands out to me. Three teams that we thought that would not be an issue with those offensive lines, and it just goes to show you the importance of spring drills, the fact that, you know, this particular year with all the parameters and difficulties and obstacles getting ready as far as with COVID-19, that just because you have a plan on paper, if you're not able to, you know, get those reps, it has impacted all of these teams.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about just how much time these guys lost over the spring and summer, time that would be spent with their position coach, going over playbooks, learning what they're supposed to be doing if they're a new starter this year. And I think I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, this sloppy level of play that we've seen across the board in football. We talk about the NFL too, and the professionals were looking a little out of whack to start the season. You have
right.
to believe that that lasts a little bit longer when it comes to college kids, to 18 to 23-year-olds. So I think there will always be sort of that, you know, hangover, lack of fall camp or lack of summer camp, excuse me, effect that we see on these teams. Obviously, when you're thrown into the fire with an all-SEC schedule, you have minimal time to work that out before you really get beat up in the areas that you're not prepared for. So to your point, still time, obviously, to fix some of these things. And I think a lot of those sort of communication issues that we've seen across the league will only get better and better, but obviously against very, very good competition every single weekend. So it's tough.
You know, Florida playing on Saturday, their first game. They're hosting Missouri, first game since October 10th. I don't know how much that hurts them, not just for Missouri this weekend, but more importantly next week when they take on Georgia. An LSU team, by the way, it looks like they're slowly but surely putting things together. A freshman, T.J. Finley, at quarterback, in for Miles Brennan last week, and they rolled against South Carolina. You know, here's six games remaining for LSU, but a chance starting on Saturday at Auburn where they can certainly turn their season around, knowing that after the bye week, they play host to Alabama on the 14th of November.
Yeah, LSU's been one of those teams that we sort of knew what we were going to get at the beginning of the season, right? And that's that we knew they were not going to be near as good as last year. And they were a little scary, I would say, for Tiger fans. As we started the season, certainly, just with the inconsistencies and what we saw, and it was like, wow, they really did lose a lot of talent. But to your point, what we saw this past weekend against South Carolina felt like the LSU team that we were used to seeing in 2019. Now, we know it's not, and we know South Carolina was probably mediocre to bad defense compared to some of the other teams that LSU will face. But, yeah, it was impressive to certainly see how they were able to turn that around, what T.J. Finley was able to do as a freshman, obviously, stepping in there. And I know Coach O said there's no quarterback competition in Baton Rouge right now. Miles Brennan is the guy. I'm just not so sure I necessarily agree with that. I don't think that Coach O is lying to us. That's not what I'm trying to say. I just know that whenever you get a taste of the backup or whenever you get a taste of the other guy and what he can do, he's always in the back of everybody's mind, certainly in practice and in games. And also, when it comes to programs like LSU and Florida and Alabama and, heck, anybody in the SEC, it's always a quarterback competition. It doesn't matter what position you're at, what you play, it's always the most talented guy is going to be starting. So I would not be surprised to see T.J. Finley back in again for LSU at some point this season, certainly. But I think the SEC is a better conference when LSU is playing well. So hopefully when we see some more of their games down the stretch, certainly some of those bigger SEC West opponents, they'll come to compete and it'll be fun.
You know, right now, as far as the AP poll, Notre Dame fourth. Next week, they'll be taking on Clemson. They also still have another game remaining as far as a ranked opponent, as far as North Carolina. The Georgia Bulldogs, you know, last time out, they lose to Alabama 41-24. But looking at their schedule, you know, they do get Florida next week, but it's a schedule that seems like it's destined for another opportunity to take on Alabama as far as in the SEC championship game at this point. Anything can happen, obviously, a lot of still things that we can't predict, but it looks like Georgia is still primed to make a run there and still be a part of this college football playoff situation.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's all about taking care of business at this point. I think Florida will be happy to be knocking on the door, and certainly that game in Jacksonville is going to be huge for whoever represents the East in Atlanta. As far as the team, though, that I think would have the best shot at knocking off Alabama between those two, I think it is Georgia. I think if they get a second chance to play them, it's a much different performance, and they can go out there and sort of play more to their offense's strengths, if you will. Stetson Bennett, they really, I think, tried to do a little bit too much with him the first time around for what he was ready to do against an Alabama team. I look at Florida, and I know obviously everybody has seen their offense operate. They know how talented Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask is and the way that offense can really move, but there's so many issues on the defensive side of the ball, and they've given up so many points to teams that they should not have let into the end zone that many times. So, yeah, I would agree with you. As long as Georgia can continue to take care of business, doesn't let anybody upset them, which I do think is kind of silly to say because it's the SEC, and when we get into November, it's only going to get crazier. But, you know, if things look as they do on paper, I'm with you. I think it's Georgia, Bama, and Atlanta.
How surprised are you that we're watching Mac Jones, the quarterback of Alabama, putting up very competitive numbers when you compare his numbers to what Trevor Lawrence is doing with Clemson?
You know, it's definitely surprising, I think, when you compare it to someone like Trevor Lawrence. But honestly, and this has been a really cool kind of full circle thing for me as a journalist, I covered Mac Jones during his high school career in Jacksonville, and he played for a school that it was sort of like Alabama. It was the expectation for you to be in the state championship every single season. And I got to watch him really develop, you know, as a sophomore, junior, senior, and then as he committed to Alabama. And I always knew that I felt like he was going to really be able to fit in with the Nick Saban program. He's a kid that loves to go out there and compete. He wants to get better. So knowing that he has sat behind Tua for the last couple of years, and also knowing that he has some guys that if he throws it anywhere in the vicinity, they're going to go up and get it, certainly helps, I think, contribute to the numbers that he's able to put up. So I'm surprised, but at the same time, I'm not, because you know Nick Saban always has his next guy up as well. And if he had someone that needed to replace Tua Tagovailoa, you knew the next guy was going to be pretty talented. And here he is, Mac Jones, lighting it up for Alabama.
And, you know, you talk about next guy up. Unfortunately for Alabama, losing Jalen Waddle, opening play against Tennessee as far as that opening kickoff, you know, just an exciting player. And certainly when you think about Alabama's potential run for an SEC title, but also a chance to run for a national championship, you know, it's tough to replace somebody like that. But there's plenty of able bodies there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's incredible how it feels like Alabama just grows wide receivers on trees. You know, when Jalen Waddle went down, I think everybody just let out a collective sigh because you just know how talented of a player he is, and you want to see him obviously go on to the next level as high a pick as he can in the NFL draft. So seeing him go down was just heartbreaking, but then seeing John Metchie kind of step up and take over their role as one of their main wide receivers, and then Slade Bolden as well. Those were a couple of names that I think when we started the season, it was like, who's this Metchie kid? And then you see him make a couple of big plays, and it's like, oh, okay, another Alabama wide receiver, and he's good. So I think it's kind of par for the course again. To your point, next man up, they always seem to have multiple next men up when it comes to who's going to step up at wideout, and I'm sure Mac Jones is extremely happy that he has a large room of wide receivers to choose from.
And right now, Najee Harris on pace that if he stays healthy, then we're going to be talking about a new king as far as the top the career rushing list at Alabama, because right now Najee Harris on pace to pass one Derrick Henry at the end of the year. But plenty of football to be played. Do me a favor before we let you go, Alyssa, remind everybody how they can keep up with all of your SEC and college football coverage.
Yeah, well, I'm always on Twitter at Alyssa Lang. I'm always on social media trying to keep up with people. And then if you watch SEC Network, we're on Thinking Out Loud on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, talking all things SEC football for an hour. And then I'm on Saturday mornings as well to get the weekend started with Out of Pocket. That starts at 9:30 Eastern time.
You do an incredible job. We always appreciate our chats with you. Have a wonderful rest of the week, Alyssa.
Thank you, Johnny. You too.